Myles Garrett delivered an act that will define him for the rest of his NFL career. From now on, no matter what he does, people will always remember Myles Garrett as the guy that could have killed a football player on a football field by taking his helmet and swinging it like a weapon.
Browns defensive end Myles Garrett has appealed his suspension for striking Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph in the head with his own helmet. Who is the player behind that violent image burned into fans' minds? ESPN's Ryan Smith sat down for extensive interviews with Garrett before this fateful season began. Today, the story of a mild-mannered pass rusher who's now at the center of a football firestorm. It's Thursday, November 21st. I'm Mina Kimes. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. Yesterday, Myles Garrett went to New York to appeal his suspension. What happened?
Well, Mina, let's remember, this all stems from the game Thursday night.
Ryan Smith is a correspondent and legal analyst for ESPN.
Cleveland Browns, Pittsburgh Steelers, and in the final seconds, Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett get into it, and Myles Garrett pulls off Mason Rudolph's helmet and hits him with it.
And getting in there was Myles Garrett, and Garrett took the helmet off and slammed him on the top of the head. Oh, my goodness.
That earned Garrett an indefinite suspension, at minimum suspended for the rest of the season and the playoffs. Myles Garrett, his agent, his lawyers, they all met in front of an appointed, let's call him an arbitrator for this, James Thrash, a person who would hear this case, former NFL player, and presented his case. And he argued from precedent. He basically said that a couple years back, a player for the Texans, Antonio Smith, swung his helmet at then-offensive lineman Richie Incognito for the Dolphins. And that earned Smith a 2-game suspension during the preseason and a 1-game regular season suspension. So for Garrett and his people, the argument's simple. That's what happened the last time something like this happened, and that's what should happen for me, not the lengthy suspension I'm getting right now.
Ryan, Myles Garrett wasn't the only player involved in the news today. Mason Rudolph also gave a statement.
For my involvement last week, you know, there's no acceptable excuse. The bottom line is I should have done a better job keeping my composure in that situation, and it falls short of what I believe it means to be a Pittsburgh Steeler and a member of the NFL.
What did you make of that?
Here Mason Rudolph is on the day that Myles Garrett's having his appeal hearing, and he gets up in front of everybody, and he apologizes for his behavior in this. I found this stunning. Here you've got a guy accused of attacking another guy, getting a lengthy suspension for it, and on the day of the hearing, the person who arguably, I guess you could say, has been victimized, comes up and talks about his part in it, and almost in some ways, exonerates the aggressor. And in a way, showed that, hey, we all had a role in this, and nobody should be excused. Everybody has a little bit of blame.
I have no ill will towards Myles Garrett. Great respect for his ability as a player. And I know that if Myles could go back, he would handle the situation differently.
Ryan, part of the reason I wanted to talk about this story with you is that you've spent a lot of time with Myles Garrett. You interviewed him for E60 this summer. You got to know him. So I was wondering, where were you when you first saw the incident and what was your reaction?
I was at home and I was just kind of hanging out, flipping through the channels. I stopped by ESPN and I see something involving Myles Garrett. And at first, it doesn't really compute to me what I'm looking at. But then as I look closer, I realize exactly what he did. And I'm hearing the commentary. I'm hearing the outrage. But the first word that popped in my mind was why? I would never, ever in any way excuse the conduct. It's just inexcusable no matter what happened. But I had spent a couple days with him in our reporting for E60, and this was a guy who's introverted. This was a guy who in some ways is mild-mannered, if you can believe it. And this was about as far as anything I would expect from Myles Garrett. Based on the guy I know, what is it that brought him to this point?
Well, who was the guy you knew? What was he like when you met him?
You know, it's so interesting. I got to tell you, the very first time I met him, he walks downstairs to sit in our interview chair, and he's wearing a Queen shirt. He starts talking about Queen, loves the group, loves the music, is imploring me to go see the movie. That kind of is Myles Garrett in a nutshell. He's exactly nothing like what you would expect from a guy who plays the way he does, who appears the way he is. His interests are so wide-ranging. It was nothing like anything I ever expected. He loves poetry. He's been writing poetry since he was a boy.
Aimlessly, he walks among the mist. Unseen to most, he doesn't exist.
He loves comics. He's going to Comic-Con this year.
I'd like to attend some events somewhere down the line. I'd love to, you know, go and not just be seen as a football player. Just, hey, I'm just here to have some fun and look at the costumes. You know, maybe one day, you know, dress up myself.
He wanted to dress as a Dragon Ball Z character. He loves anime, things like that. At the beginning of the interview, he said to me,
I was a boy who wrote poetry long before I was a man who played football.
Myles Garrett, the person, is far different from Myles Garrett, the football player.
What did you learn about his upbringing?
I mean, this is a guy who came from a family of athletes, so much talent athletically. His mom was an All-American in track. His sister won a national championship in track. His brother played basketball for the Nets. And I'm not just talking about average athletes, but really top-level athletes.
My mother's like, you can do anything you like. Do whatever makes you happy, but you're going to play some sports.
He had sort of this love-hate relationship that was more hate when it comes to football.
I was playing football at that time, even though I really didn't want to. But at that time, I really didn't care for football. And I wanted to play running back. Oh, you can't play running back. You're too big. So I played off of the lineman. Definitely not for me. I played the game and I was good at it, but there was something, you know, missing. It was kind of that passion for the game. So it was kind of hard to be okay in my own skin.
His first love was really basketball. And at one point when he was in high school, the athletic director wanted him to play football. So he said, look, you can play basketball as long as you play football.
So how does he go from being a kid who wasn't even sure if he wanted to play the sport to being the number one overall draft pick?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. When he was around his sophomore year, coaches sat him down, parents in the room, and they sort of gave him an ultimatum.
So you're either going to put your heart in it or you're not, but you're going to stop wasting people's time. And we just laid it all on the line. Or you can bring your hips home on the bus.
I'll sit down and think, no, do I really want this? Do I really want to play football for all my life? And they said, no, if you really want this, then you have to go get it. You know, you could be one of the best. You could be the best player in the nation.
This guy is a competitor. Like, he wants to win. And I think when he heard that he could be the best in the country, that sort of gave him permission to sort of go after people, to be aggressive, to be fiery on the field. It wasn't about hurting people. It was about showing people that he is the best, that he can be the best. And from then on, his play changed, really started piling up sack numbers. By midway through his senior year, now you got scores of scouts coming in to see him. And as he says, Nick Saban and Mac Brown coming to see him to try to recruit him.
I'm going to make my commitment right now. I'm going to make it to Texas A&M.
He chooses Texas A&M. By the time he hits his junior season, he's leading the nation in sacks.
What a play fake right in the backfield on the first play of the game. How about Myles Garrett making his presence known?
Johnson feels it, steps up, and doesn't get away from Garrett the second time. What a play by Myles Garrett.
He's clearly the best defensive player in the country.
With the first pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Myles Garrett.
All right.
Defensive end, Texas A&M. As I'm listening to you talk, it sounds like what you learned from all of these interviews was that Myles Garrett had to sort of teach himself to be aggressive.
He really did. He's one of these people that sort of has to be encouraged to be passionate, especially when he was a young football player. And for him, it didn't necessarily come naturally. It took him time to learn that behavior. It's interesting the dynamic in his family. His mom is more of the sort of fired up type, aggressive type. His dad a little more laid back. And his mom sort of reflected in our interviews with her, hey, I want him to be on the field. I want him to sort of show some of that passion. I really do.
From the competitor side of me, he's getting there. But boy, I would like to see a whole lot more aggression. But that's just me. I'm more overt aggressively, and he's more reserved aggressively. But the mom side of me is, I'm glad he doesn't try to hurt anybody. I want to beat you and you bleed. I want to see the external ramifications of my actions. Whereas Miles is like, but he's on the ground.
I asked him about this concept that his mom mentioned. I want him to be more aggressive on the field. And he gave me this really interesting answer about how he wanted to be aggressive, but only take it so far.
I just don't have that aggressive look about me unless you bring it out, because I just want to beat you. Like she said, I just want to beat you down. I don't really care how I do it. As long as it's within the rules, I don't need to spit in your face. I don't need to, you know, punch you after the play. No extra, no things that can, you know, injure anybody or, you know, alter anybody's career.
Myles Garrett had to learn to be ferocious on the field. And in the same way that players grow into their skills on the field, I think he's growing into his personality in terms of when to be aggressive and when not to be.
But he has struggled with that balance in the past, right? I mean, he's never done anything like what he did to Rudolph, but it wasn't the first time that sort of aggression manifested itself on the field.
Yeah, he had an issue earlier in the season where he punched Delanie Walker. That drew a fine. He also had another issue where he sacked Trevor Siemian after the play, two straight fouls, one of which put him out for the season. He's had issues before with fines, but I think, Mina, there's this sense of, well, we see what he did on those two occasions, and we see this particular incident with Mason Rudolph, and you know what? This guy, he's out of control. He doesn't know how to play the right way.
Coming up, the culture of violence in football and the boundaries around it. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I think there could be some insight gleaned from the details that happened in the lead up to the incident. What do we know about what occurred right before that moment?
Well, Mina, what I saw was, it's late in the game. Browns obviously have the game in hand. It's literally the next to the last play in the game. And Myles Garrett rushes Mason Rudolph.
And he takes the snap. He got hit again. He flares it out. Edmonds catches it.
That is not a first down pickup, and it falls short.
Oh, we got reaction.
We got flags. Oh.
And he gets a late hit on him. Like, it appears to be a clear personal foul.
Boris now gets in there and knocks him out. And there's a brawl going down inside the 10-yard line.
They get into it on the ground. Mason Rudolph then appears to be clawing at Myles Garrett's helmet. It's unclear as whether or not he's trying to attack him or get Myles Garrett off of him, and they get into it.
This is ugly.
Yeah, this is not good.
And then Myles Garrett essentially starts pulling Mason Rudolph by his helmet off the ground and then rips it off of his head. Mason Rudolph comes right after him, And as he comes after him, seemingly yelling something at him, Myles Garrett, then held back by some guys, Myles Garrett then clocks him over the head with the helmet.
And getting in there was Myles Garrett, and Garrett took the helmet off of Mason Rudolph and slammed him on the top of the head, Doug.
Oh, boy.
At that point, Garrett goes to the ground, and Marquise Pouncey and others are sort of all over him at that point.
If the officials were smart, they'd call it a game. 8 seconds left. They'd just say, all right, the game's over.
Ryan, one thing that struck me about this game in particular is that before the incident with Myles Garrett happened, we saw a player led off the field bleeding from his helmet because of an illegal hit.
And now Deontay Johnson is down and not up yet. And the Steeler players are yelling at the Browns. Wow, Demarius Randall just got kicked out of the game, too.
And people weren't nearly as angry, right? Because we asked these players to play with such aggression and violence, but then we draw a bright red line. What do you think this incident and what Garrett did says about the nature of the game itself?
It maybe shows sometimes the unrealistic expectations we put on athletes as if they're not even human beings. I mean, what we're asking of many of our athletes is to run full speed into a train but stop on a dime when something might occur that we believe they should stop for. Something that we couldn't do, we expect of them.
And yet, most players, the vast majority of players, they do stop on a dime, right? Which is why what happened was so unusual and I think so upsetting to people. What do you think it is that made him cross that line?
You know, it's one of the great unknowns, right? And I can't know exactly what he was thinking, but I do know this is a guy who, to me, when I interviewed him, seemed like a guy who is still growing, still learning as a football player.
I regret it. What I did was foolish, and I shouldn't allow myself to slip like that. That's out of character, but it's an emotional game. Allow myself to fall into those emotions, you know, with that last play and what happened.
Let's not forget, this is a young football player. This is a guy who, for many years, didn't have that aggression, so is learning how to have that aggression and control it on the field. And just like a lot of football players and just like a lot of people, he's growing. He's trying to figure out in that job what's right and what's wrong.
There's been a lot of speculation over the last few days that this story, this incident, is going to define Myles Garrett. It's going to follow him for the rest of his career. Do you think that's true, or do you think it should be true?
I don't think it will, and I don't think it should. And here's why. We look at athletes, and we expect them to be exactly like us. But yet, if we do things that are wrong, we expect people to move on from it. In fact, many people do. Here's Myles Garrett, a young guy, early 20s. He's just growing into himself as a person. I think if Myles Garrett dedicates himself to being the ultimate professional, to being a classy guy on the field as well as an excellent player, I think people are going to move on. I think an important part of that was he admitted that he was wrong immediately, and he still shows contrition. And I think he'll continue to do that until people start accepting it. Now, the should it part, I think, is so much more important. This was a situation that can't be excused. If Mason Rudolph was hit with a different portion of the helmet, he could have caused some serious damage. So you can't excuse an incident like this. One thing I've learned about Myles Garrett from talking to him all that time was this is a guy who wants to be more than just a football player. He wants to be a great person. He wants his life to be about more than the game. So I think when you talk about should it define him, I think what people should do is look at his life. Look at the things he does both on and off the field. And look at how he grows from this. And that should determine what his legacy is. Not one moment in the heat of a football game.
Coming up, how certain NFL players are putting up their worst numbers in years. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help keep you safe than ADT, the most trusted name in security. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. ADT has HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, fire and carbon monoxide detectors, all connected to 24/7 monitoring and controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. So help protect your home today with ADT. Learn more at ADT.com/podcast. Here's another story I want you to know. NFL fans, myself included, love to overreact to things. Whenever something happens in football, we pretend like it's part of a massive trend, the end of the sport as we know it, and we're usually wrong. But there is one trend this season that's very real. The kickers have been terrible. Here's the data. So far this year, NFL kickers have made less than 80% of their field goals, the lowest percentage in 16 years. Now you might be wondering, are they trying more difficult kicks? The answer is no. The average distance has actually declined since last year, as well as the number of attempts from over 50 yards out. There's no easy explanation for the decline, but I have a few theories. A couple of older, reliable kickers have struggled this year, like the Falcons' Matt Bryant, who was cut and replaced with the god, Younghoe Koo, or the Colts' Adam Vinatieri, who's missed a number of field goals in key situations.
Vinatieri in his 24th year out of South Dakota State. Here comes the snap. It's down. The kick by Vinatieri is on its way.
It's missed.
It's missed. The Steelers dodge a huge bullet.
Also, if you look at the teams with the worst rates, you'll notice a lot of turnover. The Titans, who have made less than half of their field goals, started the season with longtime kicker Ryan Succop injured. They tried Cairo Santos and Cody Parkey of the infamous double doink before going back to Succop. The second worst team is the Jets, who are on their fourth kicker. The third worst, the Niners, who signed a guy off the street before Monday Night Football last week. So there are a few outliers pulling the averages down. Now, will it get better? It's hard to say. I tried to come up with a good kicker for this segment, but like a lot of NFL teams, I couldn't find one. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.